Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. Penny Mordaunt has been named the new International Development Secretary, replacing Priti Patel, who resigned yesterday. I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Isabel Hardman to discuss. So, James, for once, the expected name did actually emerge. What do we know about Penny Mordaunt, and what can we expect?
Well, it's clear that Penny Mordaunt was the nearest to a like-for-like replacement that you could get to Priti Patel. She is from roughly the same wing of the party as Priti Patel, and she maintains the cabinet's both Brexit and gender balance. She's not a completely unnatural fit for this job. She's a former aid worker. She ran foreign press for George W. Bush's 2000 election campaign. But I suspect what the papers will be concentrating on tomorrow is that she's the first person to appear on reality television before getting promoted for cabinet.
So Isabel, is a sense of stability returning to the government, or are they just braced for the next scandal?
Well, I think the government's very nervous still about the possibility of a next scandal, because don't forget, this isn't just about two strange blunders over foreign policy. There's also the ongoing row about sexual harassment in Westminster, which is why this has been a small reshuffle today, because Theresa May just doesn't know who she can afford to move, who is, I suppose, safe to move. And at least there's one less row going on, which is that Priti Patel has now resigned, so there's not the will she go, won't she go, but there's still the same questions over Boris Johnson, and as I said, that there are still rumours flying around about various Conservative ministers with regards to sexual harassment allegations.
So James, I imagine that Penny Mordaunt will have been carefully vetted here. I mean, she is a former servicewoman with a good sense of humour. She hit the headlines for admitting in the Spectator Parliamentary Awards that she came up with an excuse to put the word cock into several speeches in the House of Commons.
It was several times into one speech.
One speech, was it? Okay. The thing is, I mean, at the time this was seen as a shock horror MP does something so risque, but I think the public would have seen it as a relatively funny joke by, you know, humorous ex-service women who's not your typical special advisor spat out of the spaghetti factory Westminster politician.
Yeah, she's a former CCHQ employee, but I think all that stuff is relatively humanising. I think the most revealing thing is how it shows how unfree a hand Theresa May has. That she is clearly thought, oh my word, I've lost a Brexiteer, I have to replace her with another Brexiteer, and I have to maintain the gender balance of a cabinet. And I think that does show how weak she is. That even for the international development job, which isn't one of the most senior cabinet posts, Theresa May is having to think about party management. I mean, that's partly because she is so stung by the ferocity of the reaction to Gavin Williamson's appointment as Defence Secretary that she hasn't kind of dared deviate from the previous course. I mean, there's one other thing worth noting here, which is that the first member of the 2015 intake has been promoted to a ministerial job. Vicky Atkins, who was a complete Theresa May loyalist, who backed her very strongly for leadership, has now entered the government in the Home Office.
In the Home Office. Now, Isabel, so do we see here Theresa May demonstrating how hemmed in she actually is? There was some talk yesterday that, well, if she's going to get rid of Priti Patel, she might as well do a big reshuffle to try to assert her authority, because this is the only card she's got left to play now. She's so demonstrably weak that she'll have to face these accusations of weakness head on with a massive reshuffle. She hasn't done that. As James says, she's done probably the most safety first replacement of Priti Patel that she could. So is this another admission of weakness, do you think, from the Prime Minister? And do you think people might start to wonder if she is becoming the problem?
Yeah, I think it does show that there are sort of two different types of weakness in Theresa May. One is her understandable, I think, caution about promoting people who she hasn't yet sort of fully checked out in terms of any allegations that are being made against them. But at some point, she's going to have to make promotions knowing that there is a possibility that even the most boring minister who she appoints might turn out to have someone accusing him or her of something 3 months down the line. So there's not a cut-off point for allegations to be made. So she's going to have to decide at some point just to get on with it if she wants to do a reshuffle once she thinks it's safe. It's never really going to be totally safe, and she may just have to deal with the fact she'd then have to sack somebody if something else came to light. The other thing that shows how hemmed in or weak she is just that she seems very cautious about upsetting people, which is understandable because, you know, Westminster wisdom is that if you have a reshuffle, then you end up with a lot more enemies on the backbenches who either haven't been promoted or have been sacked. And that's true, but you also want to be able to govern effectively and to move ineffectual ministers or ministers who have messed up, which is why there are still calls for Boris Johnson to face the same fate as Priti Patel. But also the Westminster wisdom that I just mentioned is probably the reason why she's not doing anything with Johnson, because he is a much more powerful leadership contender, albeit one with many more angry enemies in Westminster as well.
Now, James, on the subject of boring ministers who end up in the soup, a few days ago, Damien Green's jacket was said to be in a very shaky nail, a lot of senior Tories thinking he would not survive. Have concerns about him subsided, and do you think that Theresa May is now out of the woods, or do you think she's got more departures she might have to announce?
I mean, concerns about him have increased because Cressida Dick, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, said the Metropolitan Police would be prepared to get involved in this inquiry.
Right, this is as to whether he was watching pornography on his computer. But they should be able to ascertain this quite quickly, shouldn't they? Because presumably there'll be a Damien Green computer file. Either that will contain references to what he'd been up to, or it won't. So he'll even be exonerated. I don't see why this should drag on for such a long time.
I mean, the issue is that the hard drive is damaged beyond repair. So it's not available for inspection.
So what, you'd have to kind of exhume it and put it together and then try to compile a browsing history or something?
Yes, I didn't quite understand the technology involved, but something along those lines. I think if Damien Green goes, then Theresa May is in a very, very difficult position, because this is someone she brought into the cabinet. Yeah. She made her effective number two. And he also is one of these people who is keeping the show on the road. I mean, this is one of the concerns, which is, you know, would number 10 function if you remove the to continue the computer analogy, the extra bandwidth that he provides?
Right, but Isabel, I guess a great many Tories will be wondering if number 10 is functioning at the moment. I mean, the kind of what we're seeing now is a trend where you get a drama turned fairly quickly into a crisis by number 10's inability to handle it. And even the exchange of letters last night, when Priti Patel released her letter resigning, Theresa May released her letter but signed herself off as Priti Patel. She even got her own name wrong. So this does suggest a number 10 which is in chaos, and I'm wondering if, you know, things can really get much worse than they are.
You can understand why number 10 would be in chaos under sort of any regime. If you think of how number 10 under Gordon Brown went into sort of meltdown over the expenses scandal, with every day the people working in number 10 opening the Telegraph to find out what their MPs had been up to, because their MPs often hadn't told them, and having to sort of react on the spot to the revelations there, which is really what number 10's having to do, particularly when it comes to the sexual harassment row. But I think there has been a hollowing out of experience in number 10, a hollowing out of people who Theresa May fully trusts and knows, and who understand government, and actually just the incredible pressure that being in number 10 puts on even the most resilient person, when in normal times, let alone in times like this, where there are just multiple fires for quite an inexperienced and not particularly cohesive team to fight.
I think this is actually much worse than the expenses scandal, because at least Gordon Brown's number 10, there were black and white receipts in the Daily Telegraph, so that the facts were established. In this case, it is allegations which are often very vigorously denied by those concerned. So it's not quite so simple. I think another problem for number 10 is that there are a lot of scores still to be settled. You know, over the last few days, lots of Tories are briefing against certain specific individuals in number 10, clearly with the aim of trying to get certain stories out there. You see all this happening at the moment, and it is the Tory party needs to make a decision at some point, which is it going to implode, or is it going to kind of pull back from the brink somehow and find a way of getting through? Because at the moment, petty jealousies in the Tory party seem more important to some people than actually kind of getting the government back on some kind of agenda.
But surely only a leader can really get it on an agenda.
I mean, this is the problem. There is a vacuum. Theresa May has created a vacuum. Mm-hmm. And politics abhors a vacuum, as nature does.
Isabel, the reason for keeping Theresa May used to be quite straightforward, that she would provide stability, that yes, she wasn't going to fight another election, therefore she would go at some point, but the stability she represented was preferable to a leadership election. Can you see this calculation now shifting?
I think there are still problems around a lot of the most obvious leadership contenders, which we've discussed on previous podcasts.
Yep.
I think it's still the case that people would prefer May to stay for a bit longer, basically, because many of the key contenders, particularly Amber Rudd, for instance, have decided that now is not the time for a leadership contest. But the question is whether the government actually physically functions on a day-to-day basis, because never mind actually the government setting some sort of domestic policy, but it does have to do Brexit whether it likes it or not. And if the rivalries that James mentions, the confusion, the fact that the cabinet are quite happy to either make mistakes or contradict one another without consequences, if that continues, then it, as James says, it's sort of the Conservative Party dooming itself, basically.
Isabel and James, thanks very much indeed. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, on the iTunes Store, or to the magazine itself from just £1 a week on spectator.co.uk/podoffer. That will take you to a page where you can get a Moleskine notebook worth £20 when you spend just £12 on a 3-month subscription. You will not find a better value offer anywhere on any podcast, I guarantee it. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Nick Hilton, who produced this podcast.